Let's just take a deep breath, have a moment of silence here, and do the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. All right, welcome back to our final hour. We are going to pass the baskets one more time. One of the things that's important to the Simple Actions group is that we put on events like this that are absolutely no charge, so that anybody can come in, regardless of resource. And but we do have expenses, so we're going to make that go around one more time. And we'll call for announcements. We talked about the West Ghent group as having their 34th anniversary meeting Wednesday, June 25th, dinner at 6:30, speaker at 8, Linda T. from Hampton. Anybody else? Tula.
In case y'all didn't know it, I'm Tula Alcoholic. Not in case you didn't know that. Virginia in 2016, and they're already having planning meetings every once a month, and it will be, what is that day, Valentine's Day? Valentine's weekend, 2016, February 14th, whatever that weekend is, at the Marriott in downtown Norfolk, and the big meetings will be at Chrysler Hall. So please think about passing that word on. It's a pretty awesome thing. Yes.
Kathy, I'm an alcoholic. I'm representing the volunteer committee for the International Women's Conference. I have sheets with me today. It's great service work. It doesn't take any sobriety time. Sobriety time required, an amount of sobriety time required from every female. Sorry, guys, it is a women's conference. But everybody can participate. It's a great time to do service, and all you have to do is be there. There'll be a booth set up there. It is international. It's worldwide. So you can talk to people in the different places. Let them know. I'm finding from going to different places, a lot of people don't know what the International Women's Conference is. So there is a meeting for volunteers coming up. If you're interested, I have papers, and I will get back with you. And it's a two-year commitment. But we know life goes on, so we just start with today. Thank you.
Take your 30 minutes. I just need 20.
All right. So without further ado, we're going to move into our final hour, step 12. And welcome back, Christy and Sam.
Thank you. Yay! I'm Sammy. I'm still an alcoholic.
Thanks, Sammy.
Working with others. This is an experience you must not miss. I know it says it in the big book. But I'm telling you, I think by me doing the steps, it's been like a domino effect. I couldn't wait to pass it on. You know, it was something that I have a purpose in life today. I've never had a purpose. I never had a conviction. You know, but I have a purpose in life today, and my purpose is to stay sober and help another alcoholic to achieve sobriety. And you know, that means a lot to me. First of all, I have a great example. I have a sponsor, you know, and I think that is the way that I got sponsored. I get sponsored is what I pass on. I feel very blessed that when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I got into a group, into a sponsorship family. I had a family who helped guide me through this. And almost on every page in this book, it always talks about working with others. In one form or another, it is getting me ready to do this deal. That's what it's getting me ready for. Every step of the way has just prepared me to be the best that I can be. I think on page 19, back on page 19, it says, none of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. This tells me that I, as a sponsor, as a human being, as a person who wants to be of service, I need to demonstrate how I am, not just in the rooms. You know, everybody shows their best side in the rooms. We all want to be the best. But how am I at work? How am I at home? Do I say I'm practicing these spiritual principles and go home and kick the dog? I mean, I know that, you know, it's not, but do I take my anger and I go out from these rooms and go demonstrate that? How do I demonstrate that in all my affairs? When I sponsor somebody, they need to come to my home. They need to see how I live, how I react and act with my husband. How do I treat my husband? How do I treat my animals? You know, what does my house look like? My sponsor used to say, since I lived with her, my room would be just, you know, clothes everywhere, look like a spaghetti factory that just blew up. And she goes, you know, that is a reflection of how your life looks. And I'm like, I'm in trouble, you know. I'm just in trouble. So I ask them to come. They come to my work. You know, if I'm making a luncheon for the lawyers, I have my girls come there too. You know, I need to demonstrate how I am in all my affairs. So that's on page 19, and hadn't even gotten to chapter 7, page 89. But practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. That's that other side of that triangle. You know, we've been talking a lot about unity and getting together, but what about in the recovery that's going to treat the mind? But I need to treat the soul, the spirit of the program. And that's one alcoholic talking to another. I will tell you that I sponsor a lot of women. And I say this, it's not because I'm so great, it's because I'm available. I make myself available. I'm a busy woman. I love being busy. Isn't AA great? I'm busy. I'm doing some things. So I was told this, even your relationship with God, nothing will ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Service, if you look up the word worship, means serve, to serve. It's service. I'm being of service to God's kids. I'm already in worship. I'm already doing that. When I came up in Alcoholics Anonymous, we waited a year to sponsor. I don't know why that was. It was just what we did. You know, we waited a year to speak. I mean, people speak when they have 2 weeks, you know, here today. You know, they start sponsoring after a week, you know, because they've already gone through the 12 steps in a week. Well, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's different. That's all, you know. Bill Wilson only had a week, you know. He went through the steps in a week. Who am I to say anything different? But when, you know, I came up, and we usually go by that, we waited a year, you know. If, you know, for all you 13-steppers, you know, you can also know that we waited a year before we got into any relationship. Did I, you know, get it in there? We got some predators in AA, men and women. But you know, if you had my sponsor, you knew that wasn't gonna be. So we waited a year, and I remember my first sponsee, she got drunk. How could she do that? Ready? To me. That's when I started realizing what the word "to me" is. I took everything so personally. I can't believe she got drunk. Why did I have to add on "to me"? She didn't get drunk to me. I didn't pour the liquor down her throat. So that's when I started learning about leaving that personal stuff off to me. But I remember some people came up to me and like, what did you do to her? You know, I mean, that was my 450th resentment. But I learned early on that I can't get somebody sober and I can't get, you know, somebody drunk. And if I wanted to take responsibility for their sobriety, then I'm going to have to take responsibility for them getting drunk. And I certainly didn't want to do that. This book gives us specific directions on how to sponsor somebody. It tells me in here that I cannot speak from a hilltop, spiritual hilltop. It tells me that I can't criticize people. It tells me that I can't chase after someone when they don't want it. It tells me all the don'ts. And I'm here to tell you that I did all the don'ts. I tried to carry the messenger, you know, I tried to carry them instead of the message. You know, if they called and said, you know, I'm drunk, I ran over there. You know, I would run and get these and do these things. I have made a lot of mistakes, but you know what the good news is? I stayed sober. In the beginning of the book and all through the book, it talks about we. You know, we never do anything alone. When I first started, we did 12-step calls back then. We had 12-step calls, and we were told that we never do this alone. Never go somewhere, you know, by yourself. I've had to take a man with me because it was hard back then to get women to do stuff. It wasn't as it is today. Women are strong in AA today. You know, but back then they'd get sober, they would take care of their kids and leave. They'd get a husband, they were gone. And but we never did this by ourselves. I would go on 12-step calls, and I mean to tell you, it was dangerous. And I put myself in danger a lot of different times. People with guns, people at motel rooms. I have found myself at a bar, and it says in there, we go to a lot of sordid places, you know, because we're on a mission from God that, you know, we can do this, but I was never alone. And if something ever got real dangerous for me, I left. You know, I did. I try to meet someone where they're at, and it tells me that you know, I want to put myself in their shoes. And I, at the very beginning, it says that we're very sick people. At the very beginning, it says that we're very sick people. And I have to remember that. I remember when one of my girls would call me up and say, I can't believe that she's doing this, this, and this. And I'm like, do you remember when you were 3 months sober? And oh, yeah. Because I did the same thing. You know, I had to be reminded of where they're at. And today it's very easy for me to do that. I have to remember, you know, there's a lot of young people in sobriety today. And, you know, young people being 16 through 20, well, they're a different species altogether, you know. Their hormones are raging and they've got other ideas, you know. They're kids. They do have them. I had to, like, you know, change my attitude towards that. You know, they have to do what they got to do. They're young. So all through my, I have so many stories about sponsorship. I first have to tell you, when I didn't realize how much my sponsor really did for me at the beginning. I wasn't grateful. That was an action word that I wasn't showing too well. I just thought that y'all were supposed to do that for me. And I will tell you, I have that same experience with sponsoring newcomers. They have no idea. So if you get treated poorly, it's just because they're poor. They're poor in spirit, you know, and they're going to act that way. I did the same thing. You know, I lived in my sponsor's house that first year, and when I got mad, I'd slam her doors. I mean, I'm in someone else's house. Why was I not being considerate and thoughtful? Because I was inconsiderate, you know, and I didn't think about you at all. I was extremely selfish. So today it's easy for me to put myself into their shoes and allow them to be where they're at. Not to say that I like it one bit, but allow it to happen. But I've learned a lot through my sponsor. And, you know, I remember my first sponsee, the one that, you know, was sticking by. I'm a 24 years sober, and I sponsor a woman who's got 23 years, and we've been with her the entire time. I've been with my sponsor for over 24 years. I've had the same sponsor. It's a little unusual, but it does happen. I went through a part where I thought that I needed to switch sponsors because I thought I needed a guru sponsor, or, you know, and it was, you know, I thought I needed something more. Maybe I outgrew her. And I'm glad that those were just ideas that got set to the side, because my sponsor has given me everything that I've needed. Really, everything. You know, my sponsors are the type of person that will say, you know, I'm not experienced in this. You go here. Mm-hmm. You go there. And, you know, these are things that we're taught that we don't realize that at the time. Like, we're getting all this knowledge of how to be a sponsor, you know? So when I became a sponsor, I made a lot of mistakes, you know, and I'm the one who's growing. They're growing too through it. You know, I went to a workshop one time and Clancy was speaking, and it was on a sponsorship workshop, and it was fabulous. He really did a fabulous job. And it was a question and answers, and he was talking great about sponsorship, and he sat down and a woman comes up to the podium and says, "I love sponsorship. I just started sponsoring last week. I've got 5 pigeons and I'm so happy. It has changed my life." And she sat down. Clancy gets up and he says, "Just wait till you get fired." I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks, because when I first got fired, I just want to know, I remember when I got fired, they fired me. I remember saying, "Where's the money?" If I got hired, I'm sure there was some money involved here. The first time I got fired, I think that resentment was 4 years. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. And it killed me. And, you know, of course, I inventoried it, and I can tell y'all immediately, if you have a resentment like I do, I mean, you can imagine 4 years with that one thing. When you're sitting in a room with someone you have a resentment with, how do you act? How do you act? It'll certainly get to your faults, that's for sure. I ignore. I gossip. You know, so what happened with me is my sponsor puts me right into inventory. You know, and I don't let go of things so easily, obviously. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know, some things came a little slower to me. And I'm not questioning that today. I'm telling you, it took me 15 years to be resentment-free. 15 years. You know, I just had a lot of old ideas, didn't I? But what happened was I had a good sponsor who pointed that out, but had me in inventory. But being fired from someone, I don't think it's easy. I've worked with that woman for so long. I have given her everything. I've done everything for her. How could she treat me that way? That's the way I looked at it, you know, because after all I've done, are you doing it in the name of God or are you doing it in the name of Sammy? Well, I think I'm doing it in the name of Sammy. You know, because, see, I want to be looked as a perfect sponsor. I want to be looked at as, you know, great. You know, how that's so self-seeking. What you think about me was so important. You know, forget about her. It was one about her at all. She had every right to fire me. You know, because I was, you know, so, you know, oh, you know, it's this way or no way, you know. That's the way I was doing it. And, you know, when I look back on it, inventoried it, I mean, we're really good friends today. That woman and I are good, good friends. It's because, you know, it's really, I'm telling you, it's because of good sponsorship. I do sponsor people from out of town. It's usually people who have a lot of time and have never gone through the book and want to do that. I don't usually sponsor someone brand new over the phone, but what I do is all the girls that I do sponsor out of town have to come to my house every 3 months. You know, I just have rules. I with sponsorship, I have a contract with these girls. It's a contract for me. You know, if you're willing to go to any lengths, so am I. I will go anywhere and help you for anything. But once you know, I have girls who stop going to meetings. That's part of the contract. You know, you got to go to meetings. You got to do a certain things. There's a few requirements that I ask of you. So if they stop doing it, I didn't break a contract. You broke the contract. You know, they stop going to meetings, but they still want to work the thing. I just don't do that. You know, I don't. There's a couple of things that I've learned about myself that I don't do well. I don't do well sponsoring people who commit adultery. It's just against my being. And it's just something, it's a very personal thing. You know, I've had people say, you know, you need to get over that. And I'm like, well, maybe so, but this is what I do. I have certain contracts. I meet people where they're at, like I said, and I think it's probably one of the most important things that I do. We all come in here at a different level. Some people get this thing really quick. Nina, like her now. Obviously, you can tell by my story, it wasn't real quick. But some people come, you know, everybody comes in at a different level, and I need to meet them at that level. I remember with my sponsor, I thought she treated people differently, and it used to make me angry. How come she's allowed to do that and she's not? You know, how come this and how come that? You know, and I would say that to June all the time, you know, that, you know, I got treated so differently. And she goes, well, why don't you go out and do what you think that you need to do? And she would go, there's the front door. You can leave anytime you want. And I'm like, that's not nice, you know? you know, and then it would just, what wrote me back in. I was telling earlier some girls, I said, I came in and I was very fragmented. You know, it was here and there and everywhere. And June would just lasso all those things. Coming here, Kirstie and I run, and one of my girls called, and this is what I've learned to do. You know, she's very fragmented. She's everywhere. She can't ask a question. You know, she has to talk 10 different things before, you know, and I stop you immediately, like, whoa, slow down. Take a breath, because this is what June did to me. Take a breath. What's the question? What's the question? How simple is that? Because I hear 500 different things, and I just need to go, just stop. You know, what's going on? And what happens is I know that it's going to teach them down the road when they do call me, I better have a question. You know? So I think it's important. I also think it's important what I do besides demonstrating, you know, showing them how I react with other people, how I am. Having a group of people. They need to have other people in their lives. I am not their higher power. If you can't get in touch with me, if you can't get in touch with anybody, you got God. Their reliance must come upon that. And all of them come in differently. Some of them come in, they're divorced. Their husbands don't like them. They've lost their children. I mean, it's really tragic things that happen. And to keep them focused on doing this is what my job is. My job is on page 97. Uh, 94. It tells me exactly what to do. It says, my job is to outline the program of action. What is that? That's the book. The program is in the book. Explaining how you made self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you're on are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It's important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you're in helping them. How many times have we told that to someone, they're like, they can't understand that? I mean, that we say that, you are helping me. Really? You know, I am? Yeah, they're helping us. Any time that I've been in a situation that has been miserable, I was in a situation where a couple years, where I live out on a farm, you know, I have 11 acres, and I have a big black dog who doesn't like other animals. He loves people, but he's a 145-pound German Shepherd who's not real happy about other animals. So everybody knows that, not to bring their animal out there. Well, one of my girls, because they come out and, you know, they love to come out to the country and do, you know, do the deal. She comes out and she has a dog in the car. It's not her dog. She's taking care of that dog. It's one of those little miniature collies. Beautiful, real feminine looking. Cute little dog. Well, you know, we were sitting there. My dog follows me around like I'm God or something. Loves me to death. And So the dog follows me everywhere, and we're all sitting outside doing this, her and I and the dog, and we all go in to go to the bathroom, and she came out first and let the dog out of the car. I came out of the house and with my dog, and my dog tore that dog apart, tore it apart, killed me. But, you know, she tried to break it up, so she got bit. It was a bloody mess. And my dog put that dog in the hospital. The dog is good, you know, alive and well, but it wasn't very good. And it was a bad situation, but let me tell you how I felt. I hadn't felt that misery in a long time. It was a miserable feeling. My heart just ached. And so what I do when I'm in there in that situation, because it happens to me automatically, is I gotta go be of service to somebody. You know, because I don't know if my dog's gonna live or not, because they're gonna kill my dog. And, you know, I'm feeling really bad about this dog. And so I go help someone else. And I mean to tell you, as miserable as I felt, me being of service to someone helped me out so much. Now, I knew that I was gonna have to, you know, the owners were in Europe of that dog. They got back. The wife called me, and you know what she said to me, I can't even repeat, but she wanted my dog dead. And I didn't open my mouth because I knew how she felt. I knew how she felt. But the laws are, just to let you know, out in the country, our dog owns the property. They can do anything, so my dog didn't get put down. But that dog lived. But I'm telling you, me getting out of me helped so much, because I use that example because it was such a miserable feeling. Ooh, it was just awful. But what happens, though, is that, you know, I'm also teaching my girls exactly what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even realize how much we demonstrate to others. I never stopped to think that my sponsor was demonstrating the next right stitch. I didn't know that. I didn't know that if she told me to go do this, go do that. She showed me. You know, she would go to a meeting early and set up. She was always early to a meeting and helping out. She always stayed late and helped and talked. She loves the fellowship, loves the fellowship. So that's exactly what I do. I go pick up my girls. I go early to the meeting, you know, and I stay late. I love to stay and talk with my fellow, you know, my fellow peeps. And so that's one thing that I love to do. When I go somewhere, I call them up. All, come on, let's all go. You know, I make them feel a part of, the way you made me feel a part of. You know, I love to travel. I love to go to out-of-town meetings. I love to do all that stuff. I love to get a carload of people and let's just go. You know, because that's what we're doing. We're showing enthusiasm. It's my job to pass that on. It's my responsibility. You know, we have a responsibility pledge here. Mm-hmm. You know, when anyone reaches out, I want the hand of AA to always be there. And for that, I am responsible. I have said no to very few people, because what's so great is God seems to put people in my life when I'm available. That's all I know. People will say, how do you do it? I don't know. God makes it possible. That's all I can tell you. But it gives us specific things. It tells me how, if I lend money, if I let people sleep in my house, you know. And I think it's really important to set a time. I lived, when I moved out of my apartment, the house with my sponsor, I had this one little teeny apartment. Actually, I moved in with Jesse first. I was a terrible roommate, I'm going to tell y'all right now. Oh my gosh, I felt so sorry for her. And she would remind me that years later. I'd go up to her and I'd say, gosh, it must have been tough. And she goes, it was, you know. I mean, she was such an easy person. But I remember when I got this little teeny apartment, and I only had one room. That's all I could afford. And I would have a chair, a bed, a table, you know. And that one chair was a recliner. And if someone needed a place to live, I opened up my one little room for them. You know, not everybody does that. I'm not saying that. But I was single. I could do that. And it was very, very easy for me to do. When it came to money, if the people needed money, I gave it. You know, it was just, it's just the way I was. The thing of it is if you get it back, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. Because if I give something, if I lend you this book, if I get it back, it's a gift. My sponsor always told me that. I used to complain, like, I just gave these 5 CDs. And she goes, well, you gave it away. You gave it away. Maybe they need it more than you do. She said that a lot. You know. I got my house, got my apartment, got broken in twice, and I remember going to my sponsor and crying. Oh my God, is this payback? Because you know I rob houses, and she goes, "No, God doesn't work that way, Sammy." You know. You know, but I've had so many experiences when early in sobriety, and even today, but about, you know, doing the next wrong thing and things happening. And not even that long ago, one of the girls' husband was cheating on her, and she just couldn't take it, so I get in my car and I drive down to North Carolina because I'm thinking that's the right thing to do. I get there and help her pack up her house and do all that stuff and getting her ready to go. And Sunday, you know, he comes home. So she changes her mind. You know. Left me stunned, I'll tell you that. I was stunned. But, you know, I have to remember where people are at. I just can't control all that. But I place myself in these positions. I really have, you know, hopefully I learn from all of them, but I've placed myself in these positions. The good news about sponsorship, just like the girl who's got 23 years now, we grew together. We really grew in this program. You know, I have a friend, his name's Stu B. He's a circuit speaker, but he's got 46 years of sobriety, and I've known him all my sobriety, and he used to tell me, oh, I'm going to my sponsee's daughter's wedding that, you know, I knew when she was born. And I'm like, wow, that is just amazing. And then he'd say, I'm going to this graduation of, you know, so-and-so, because that's, you know, their grandchild, you know. And I'm like, wow, what a history you have with all these people. I have that history today. I've been in a lot of weddings. I've been at a lot of funerals. I've been in a lot of graduations where people said, they do say this to me. It's amazing. The parents will come up to me and it couldn't happen without you, Sammy. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all of this. One of my girls, she's a doctor today, and she got kicked out. She flunked out of med school. And when she got sober, her parents hated me. They hated the fact that she was listening to someone else and not listening to them. I mean, it was just pretty much a natural thing for some people, you know, that, you know, like husbands and wives, I guess, go through that too. You listen to them, but you won't listen to me. So, you know, we're working together, and she made that decision to go back to medical school. And inside, I'm going, yes, you know. It's her decision, but yes, you know. And I remember at her graduation and at her wedding, her parents came up, you know. And with all the forgiveness and the sincere thankfulness, you know, for helping her daughter get through these things. These are something you can't even explain to people. You know, I'm the only one who I walk away feeling this far off the ground because God and I helped another person who was in the gutter and their life. It says at the end on page 164, great events will come to pass. What are those great events in your life? Great events have come into my life because I have learned more from you than I could have possibly gotten myself. When it says that they are more of helpful to me, that's where I really learned the steps. You know, I did the steps with my sponsor and I learned them through you. You know, because when I'm doing it with you, I am seeing a mirror. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me too. Oh my gosh. I also have to start practicing when I'm preaching. You know, my sponsor never told me to do something that she didn't do herself. She didn't say, you must do this, you have to do this. What she would say is, this is what I did. I suggest that you do it. And of course, we've all heard this. If you go and you're a skydiver, if you want to jump out of a plane, I suggest you open the parachute. You don't have to. If you want to die, go ahead, go die. I've learned over the years, too, one of the greatest lines, and it's in We Agnostics. It says, alcohol is our great persuader. I just don't have to beg people today. If they have another idea, that's fine. This just happened a month ago. A girl I was sponsoring, she came to me, will you sponsor me? Oh, it'd be an honor. Let's go have coffee. You know, let's talk. And usually the first time I meet them, I have them tell me their entire story, which they love to do. You know, and I tell you the truth, I love listening to that. I want to know everything about them. I want to know where they came from, their sister, that, you know, everything. So after around 2 months, and I'm going over to her house on Thursday, it's on my way home, and we're, you know, doing the book. And she stopped going to meetings, but she still wanted me to come over. And I told you, I just, you know, I don't do that. You know, there's some things I don't do. And she goes, well, hey, she says, I really don't like AA. I don't like it. I'm like, well, that's okay. And she goes, can I get sober anywhere else? I'm like, sure you can. You know, we don't have a monopoly on this deal. And she goes, can I get sober in church? I'm like, sure you can. You know, we don't have a monopoly on this. I said, do you go to church? No. And I'm saying this with lovingly, with nothing but love in my heart, and I mean this. I said, well, to tell you the truth, you're just going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to show up, and you're going to have to participate. You know, so, you know, go do. I said, she goes to therapy, she said, well, I talked to my therapist. Can I get sober through her? I went, try again. You know, go on, try it. And she goes, but I'm so afraid I'm going to drink again. Sure you are. Hey. You know, what I was taught and told, but I didn't put into practice because, you know, I had to learn all these things my way, I guess, was I want to make it so when they do come back, they can come back to me. They don't have to duck and hide. And that's because that's not how it was for me at first. I made them feel awful for, you know, how dare you not want to get sober through me. There's that to me again, you know. And so I've learned that you go do what you got to do. Because, see, I don't lower myself to meet their needs. I know what's worked for me, and that's all I can do. If you have a better idea, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But if you want to do what I've done, then we'll go the path that I've taken. You know, because I only know how to be sober and to stay sober through what I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous and through what I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, so the best thing that I can tell her is to be loving and kind to her. Because when she can't stay sober, and she is drunk today. She's drunk, and she's one of those girls who's lost her little girl, you know, her baby, 16-month-old. You know, but that's not gonna get us sober. Losing children, losing jobs, losing families. You know, I've got to grab onto something that's gonna help me. That's gonna, you know, and that's what I did. I grabbed onto my sponsor's shirt tail, and I did what she did, even when I didn't want to. My feet, as she says, have, you know, my feet became the most spiritual part of my body. You know, how many times did I say, I'm not going to go to that meeting tonight? I'm not going. I'm not going to go to that meeting tonight. And all of a sudden, I got my coat on, but I'm not going. And my feet took me to that meeting because my head didn't want to go, but my feet took me to that meeting. You know, how many times, there's sometimes, you know, I go to prison, I don't want to go. Sometimes I'm just so tired. My feet take me to that meeting, you know. I have introduced, that's what my job is too, is to introduce these girls to you people. I introduced them to the service side of the program, because like I said earlier, as soon as we get in here, we're doing service. We're being of service. So my whole experience with being a sponsor and sponsored has been a great journey. You know, if you're in here and you're sponsoring and you think you make mistakes, you're still sober. You're still sober. You can't get anybody drunk. There isn't anything I can say to somebody who's not ready.
Right.
And there's nothing I can just say. If I can't say anything wrong if you want to get sober. I'm just not that powerful. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. And it's been such a joy to be with you. Alcoholic named Christy. And I think mostly everybody's still in here, so I don't have to say all that other stuff. And Sammy's done a great job about, I'll touch on sponsorship for a moment. I don't need to repeat it. We've had a lot of similar experiences. One thing, I had my first sponsor relapsed when I was a year sober. And when I was 6 months sober, these two things really helped me in my sobriety happening. Not that I'm glad she's relapsed, but it's, you know, God, I think God takes every situation. It's a growing experience. I think he uses it if I'm open to it. When I was 6 months sober, I went to a recovery dance and somebody stole $20 and earrings out of my purse. And what that made me remember is that my sponsor is an alcoholic just like me. And if they're not doing the deal, they can get drunk too. And you need to be, and 2 years later, she came back in and asked me to be her sponsor. So that was a very interesting experience. But it really drives home that, you know, it's that whole thing of I'm willing to do this thing. I've got a chapter here that tells me exactly how to do it. It's also, if I'm ever going, you know, whenever I've had taken girls on 12-step calls, I say, I want you to read Working with Others before I get there. One thing that's cool in there is what I'll do, one exercise, is there's nine nevers written in that book, in that chapter, and you look for the nine nevers.
Yeah.
And see if you can find them. And they really are very good. They're good guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this chapter tells me absolutely how not only to work with, you know, sponsees, work with fellow alcoholics that are still spiritually sick, that are actually in the program, you know, that aren't doing it, that they're just dry. You know, it's telling me exactly what to do. So again, once again, I've got the information. I've got the guide. I don't have to make it up. I've had a bunch of experiences too. I sponsor a lot of women and feel blessed to do that. So I want to talk about a couple other things, but one thing I did want to say, you know, those early experiences right-size things. It's a level playing field here. I'm a big believer in our literature. I love this pamphlet. Whenever anybody asks me to sponsor them, I'm like, I want you to read this so you understand my role and yours.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, they have, you have a role as well. You know, and I had to learn how to be a sponsor. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't just get sober and know how to do everything. I think, again, it's about practice. I think I feel blessed. As long as I have the right attitude about it, I know that today some things just aren't my business. I mean, my whole deal is if I'm just willing to take you through the steps, introduce you to service, and participate in your life, great. And good friendships have come out of it. I've got girls I've had for many years. They're very dear to me, and I participate in their lives, and they participate in mine, and we know each other, and we are friends. And a couple of girls I've sponsored, it just seemed to fall into more of a friendship thing, and it was mutual. I said, you know, you need to get another sponsor, but they still call me. They're still real close. And that's only happened a couple times, but so what? Mm-hmm. I don't pick how long I'm in somebody's life. You know, if somebody, you know, lets me go, it's like they've gone to someone else. A lot of times, I'm just like, I guess that's, you know, and I'm not just saying, I mean, of course I go through for a minute. It's that whole thing. I look at myself. Did I do anything? You know, I need to grow from this. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But it's an opportunity for me to look. Did I do anything? Could I have done something different? You know, it's another opportunity for me to look at myself and grow, which I believe about that. Working with others is very powerful. It's got so much information in it, and I want to touch on a few things. It's so important because it tells me, like, about, I know when I first got, you know, we hear people, should I go places where they're drinking, if drinking's anywhere? And it tells me exactly what to do. If I have a good reason for being there and I'm spiritually fit, go. But don't go to live through other people. Don't go. If you see yourself counting drinks or anything like that, you don't need to be there. You know? You don't need to dress it up like Jim did in the story about the milk, you know, figuring out it's going to sell a car sitting in a bar, you know, and that kind of thing. But it's just, you know, it really tells me what to do. It says legitimate. And so, like, but I know in early sobriety, there's a lot of places I couldn't go, and I wasn't going to risk my sobriety over it. And that's one thing that was driven home to me. This is a very valuable thing because it's my life, you know, and to have a plan, you know, and to talk to my sponsor about it. Mm-hmm. Sponsorship, I mean, that's, I call mine my tour guide, mm-hmm. you know, and she has just helped me lead the way for me, you know, and Sammy talked about some, I've had a lot of experiences, but again, you know, she's named some great ones and made some fabulous points, so I don't want to repeat information. What I would like to say is I went through a thing too, actually during that 8 months, just recently, I was looking at my whole life. I slowed down enough and I was looking at all the pieces of my life, you know, and I was, you know, it was such a spiritual experience for me. And I got it in my head and wondered, and some of my girls were saying, we just think you need to have a sponsor that does this like you do. And so I started listening. And I don't care how long we're sober, we'll listen, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm starting to listen, and then I'm thinking, well, man, you know, I need to be reflective. This is about growing. Do I? You know, and then I started thinking. And now my sponsor is an amazing woman. She's a class act. She's been my sponsor 13 years. I mean, I've had a few sponsors, but she is just so God. She's just got God in her. If you met her, you'd see, mm-hmm. Some of you know her. She's just a beautiful lady, fine example. And we just click, you know. But I'm, you know, I was willing to look at it and not anything toward her. It was really about me. So I did, you know, and so I told her that I thought maybe I need to get another sponsor. And I asked somebody else that travels. And I'm not an out-of-town sponsor girl. I like the sponsor being in town. I'll be a sit and look at her. I sponsor a couple out-of-town girls, but they have to meet me. And we have a, only reason I agreed to do it is to make sure we see each other. And we mm-hmm. do. But most of my girls are in town. And I think it's not about proximity, it's about willingness, really. You know, people can, you know, be far, but they can make it work. But I did it, and it didn't feel right for almost from the get-go. And it's just like that feeling, it's like, mm-hmm. this just don't feel right, you know? And so what ended up happening is I tried talking to this other lady, and she was a fine example and busy like me and doing, you know, always doing and going and involved and... I met my sponsor just for lunch one day, and I told her, I said, you know what, I can't have you just not be something. I think you need to be my spiritual advisor. You know, I said, I need you to have a title. You know, and I'm a big believer, I don't have to have a title to be in your life. I can just be a friend. You know, I can just be somebody, because I'm going to tell you the same answer whether I'm your sponsor or you're not. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be me. And so by the end of lunch, you know, she's just, it was really special, but I drove away and I started crying. And I thought, what the heck did you do? Mm-hmm. That is like the person God wants you to be with. I mean, I ended up calling her within the hour saying, look, I want you to be my sponsor. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me. And she's so loving and kind. She allowed me. She started crying. She said, that she was so grateful that she could allow me to do that and come back on my own and have that experience. Because I realized I did have everything. She was everything I needed. I was trying to fix it. And that's a 26 years. Sometimes we can do that. And it was in the name of I want to do the right thing and grow. But sometimes, you know... I don't care how grounded we are in this deal. I can go off in the weeds and think something. And so I guess that's my point being, everything's about growing. It's about searching. It's about seeking. It's about looking. I talked to some other people about it, but I didn't have to call anybody. I knew the right answer. It's that intuitiveness that I've developed with God. I knew driving away, she needs to be my, I knew it. It's like I knew it. I dialed two people's numbers and hung up. I said, I don't need to talk. And you were one of the people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't need to talk to anybody. I know that's the answer. I don't know anybody. He's got to tell me. You know, and I knew it was the answer. And I called her and we did. And everything's been fine. And what a beautiful person. And what a great, and it's also good. And I shared that with my girls because they need to know that it is always about growing. I've had my girls say stuff to me that blows me away. Mm-hmm. You inspire me. Thank you for showing me, you know, and they know I'll be there. I mean, it's just becoming a person with integrity, you know, and you said, Sammy touched on something that I was always told, if you want to stay in the steps, take people through the steps. You know, I grow more doing that, mm-hmm. you know, what she said, and these are things that people told me, but benefits of sponsorship, I mean, number one, it's, you know, it is a privilege for anybody to want to share their life with you. It's a privilege for anyone to tell that stuff. You know, it's a commitment that I make, and I meet them halfway, and I agree to share my life with them. I remember when I was 10 years sober, one of my girls came by my house, and I was a little just, it was a lot going on, three teenagers, you know, and I was just, she was laughing. She said, God, it is so good to see you like this, because I'm a pretty together person, but I was just a little not together, you know. She was laughing, and I was like getting a little offended for a minute. I was like, what are you talking about, you know? And so the next day, though, she left. This was so profound. It was a turning point for me. I left for lunch at a job, and I came back, and there was a little note, and I still have it, and she left a rose, and she said, I wasn't laughing at you last night. It's good to know life ain't perfect at 10 years sober. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm not really sharing enough of my life. And I heard that, and that is so important. Because I will, like in a fifth step, I always stare it. But I mean, I was sharing it, but I realized I needed to share more. Because they want to be in my life as much as I want them to. And so that's my responsibility. And we are storytellers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I was sponsored. Mm-hmm. And that's how I sponsor. It's stories. It's about stories. And they know it's going to be a long answer. You know, I always have stories. Y'all have seen me today. I can pack five stories into one little thing. You know, it's like, and we'll go here, 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 here. And y'all keep up, you know. But it's like, what a gift to grow and walk. And it's walking with them. Mm-hmm. In this shoulder to shoulder, level playing field, eyeball to eyeball, meeting as equals, as this pamphlet says, you know? And it's just been a powerful part of my sobriety. And I've experienced personal life stuff and being in there and just being that person they call, being that person they say, well, tell them the truth, you know? And being that kind of person, wow. And, you know, the awakening, oh, I did want to talk about that for him. Well, let me say one more thing, and then I'm going to move to that. One thing I love is on page 96. One of my favorite readings is on page 100. But 96, about the top of the page, someone told me this one time. They, you know, if somebody's not doing it, a lot of times I'll just call them and say, look, I want you to read the paragraph on the top of page 96. And that tells me to work with people that are desperate and eager. You know, it tells me if, you know, that not to spend too much time on them because I might be depriving other people of an opportunity. And I'll say, I want you to read that chapter and call me back and tell me what you think I should do. It puts it on them and it's out of the book. It's not Christy. This is, my role is to help you. But if you're not willing to do it, it's not fair to somebody else that might be standing over here wanting me to help them. You know, so I'm, and so that to me is my guide right there. It's telling me, you know, and Sammy, it totally goes with we carry the message, not, you know, the alcoholic. I can't want it more than you. And I'll tell them that now. And through the years of becoming more, I can be quicker to say, you know, there's nothing I can do for you. And it's not to be ugly. I said thing I heard when I was young, I'd rather step on your toes than your grave. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I don't want to be, you know, burying you. And I love on page 100 about both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. Oh, my God. My life is so, I can't even put it into words. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. So that little, all those little plans and designs, they needed to go. And that's that whole thing of, you know, people say it all the time. If I'd made a list, I'd never, you know, I would have shortchanged myself. And I would have. And I would have big time. Follow the dictates of a higher power and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world no matter what your present circumstances. That's the job or no job, the wife or no wife, that's anything. My sobriety has got to be number one. And that's the best example I can give. If I'm living it and people are asking to follow me, they do that. And if they don't want to, it's not my job to talk them into it. I'm not going to do it. I don't have to convince you. You don't have to agree with me. There was a time I would argue with you about it, and that's an earlier sobriety. Mm-hmm. But what it was my fear. Mm-hmm. You're messing with something that saved my life. Mm-hmm. You know, how can you say that? I'd be in disbelief. Now I'm like, I get it. It's alcoholism. And it's not my job to get them sober. It's only my job to be, if they're willing, to take their hand and say, come on, this is what we do. And as far as the awakening I had as the result of the steps, that's how we have the awakening. Mm-hmm. I did have an awakening when I got here. I must awake or I die. I told you about the spiritual awakening that Bill Wilson talks about in Language of the Heart. And that was my experience. But the awakening I had is the result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. My spirit is awakened. And I've had a lot of awakenings. You know, and that one was huge. And what it did is my spirit awoke. I'm going out into the world. I'm sharing this thing. I've already described some of the things of how practicing these principles in all my affairs in the last session when I talked about my children and taking this thing home. You know, I brought to mind when you talked about the dog, you know, situation, which it's sad, but thank God we know what to do. And I had a little different, these neighbors move in and I am a dog freak and about treating dogs right and kids. And I'm like one of these people on those shows that says, what would you do? I am a person who would step up and say something like if somebody's doing something wrong. And these people had a dog that were mistreating, the short version. And some people know this story. And they were mistreating the dog. And I ended up getting the dog out of there, you know, and there was a lot that went on. But the reason that it worked is because of what I've learned here. I said, I need to be a good neighbor. I don't want them saying, we don't want you over here messing with the dog. What happened is I became a good neighbor. I saw them for sick people, because they were. They had little children that I became friends with. I became helpful. Where I worked, we'd get donations and stuff. They didn't have a lot of money. I'd give it to them. Not because I wanted, ooh, look at me, because it was the right thing to do. But in the process, I was able to help the dog, get the dog out of there, and then agree to it without being a whole bunch of stuff. And my point being is, it's all in how. I'll never forget it coming over. It's like God just sends me that postcard, and he says, be a good neighbor. What can I bring to it? There's opportunities around me all the time. Instead of being an interfering neighbor, going in there criticizing, I even made amends to him because I think at the beginning I was acting like, you're not taking care of your animals right. You know, and I think I was coming across it, went over to him. I said, you know, I need to make amends to you. I thought, and these are people probably that never heard anybody say anything like that. You know, and they were like, looking at, and I was like, I'm really, you know, I had to do it for me. I said, I'd like to make amends. I'm coming over here. I'm probably making you feel like you're not a good dog owner. And they're probably, I mean, I can't imagine what they were thinking. But I was like, but the truth of the matter is, I just really care about living things and giving. And if I've offended you, I apologize. But I want you to know, and I'd like to have your permission to come over and play with your dog and make sure your dog's got good water and food. Because, I mean, they had him way in the back. And I became really close to the dog and found a home for the dog. And they were okay with it. And I really, truly believe it's because of the way I approached it. And I believe that Alcoholics Anonymous teaches me to suit up and show up, do the next right thing, and be kind and loving and well-meaning, and to really place these principles. The answer, it's said in here all through the book, that if I apply this to every part of my life, it will change. And everything that's happened in my life, I've been able to use it. And it's a spiritual tool. It's the spiritual tools. We're about out of time. I have to go over this real quick, because a couple times I went over and I said, Sammy, you need to talk over a little bit today. And she did such a fine job of sponsorship. She did. I wanted her to, because I knew. But I'd like to talk about it. And I've got it written in my book. It's a circle and a triangle that we talk about. And what I like about it is that when you talk about the unity in the body, and it's about the 12 traditions. And the question is, do you have a group you're committed to? Do you have a group you're committed to? You know, and the service and the spirit is found in carrying the message, the 12 principles of the 12 concepts. Are you working with other alcoholics? You know, it's a question for yourself. Are you working with other alcoholics? And the recovery on the bottom is, of course, found in the mind, and it's the 12 steps. And have you continued to actively stay in the 12-step process? You know, are you participating in your own recovery? You know, and are you in the middle of that? Because if you're in the middle of that deal, man, sky's the limit. I've never seen anybody relapse. It's all about, and it's a promise. If action is taken in all these areas, I can be whole. I can be a whole person. Mm-hmm. I can be that person I always dreamed I'd be. I shoot better than that person. And as a direct result of what happens here and carrying the message and practicing these principles in all my affairs and working with others, my life is better than any dream or book or anything. I don't even can't think on that level. But I've been given an opportunity to live. And I think we all have. I think God's got great plans for all of us. I think he's got people picked out we all need to help. I think I need to take care of my business so I can be ready to help those people. Mm-hmm. There's a little card called the Chosen Ones. And we are uniquely qualified to help other alcoholics. We have that ability. We're knowing, you know, and our answer is all, it's, you know, a relationship with God evolving, and it's always working with others. It's always getting out of me because God uses them. Well, if I'm not thinking about me, I see the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, God gives me the info. I know it's there. And I would encourage you, we've talked a lot about the 12 steps, but I would encourage you to get to know the other 24 spiritual principles we have in this program, because I'm a big believer in them, and I've been blessed to have sponsors that take me through the traditions just like steps, and I do that with my girls. We have sponsor tree stuff. I know Sammy's got Belinda's in part. I mean, a lot of us are in big sponsor trees, and, you know, we gather, we rally together, we have book studies, we do little retreat stuff, we have pool parties, we have Christmas. I mean, we're in each other's lives, and we laugh and we cry and we share our lives together, and we become prepared, but we're serious, and we prepare ourselves to go out in the world and do God's work. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm preparing my girls to be sponsors, and then they're preparing their people to be sponsors, and then it's almost like that old Brett commercial, you know, that Jacqueline Smith used to do, you know, and then she had two friends, and she had two friends, and she has two friends, and some of y'all are smiling because that's dating you, because that was way back. You remember that commercial?
I do.
That was a long time ago, like in the early 70s, I think. And wasn't it early 70s?
So on and so on.
And that's what happens here. So that's the deal, guys. If we do that, then that's what we do. It's just plain and simple what we do. You know, and that's all I'm responsible for. It's just to carry the message and to help others and just ask God each day to show me what to do and when to do it and be willing to do it. So lots of good stuff, lots of good stories. I think I'm going to, it's 2:35. I think we've had a great time. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your lives. And I know we'll see you out and about and go out and do God's work. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Yay, God. Yay. All right.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Just wonderful. Okay, we got a couple of housekeeping items here. There are home group members have put some of the leftover food in baggies. If you want to take some stuff home with you, please grab it, take it, roll with it. It's yours. The recordings of this event are available on the simpleactions.net website. Don't feel like, I know we've been together for a long time, but don't feel like you have to rush off. We're all here to relax. We're going to end up leaving four tables with the associated eight chairs. The rest of the tables will get picked up and put away. Any help with that would be wonderful. I was going to ask sponsorship volunteers to stand up, but since most people are already standing, Evan, Johnny, Leanne, if you don't have a sponsor, don't leave here without one, okay? And have I missed anything? Can we thank Sammy and Christy?
Thank you, guys. Woo-hoo!
Oh, and you know, this home group regularly meets in this room on Monday nights, 7 p.m. Where are we in the steps? Step two will be on Monday, right? Yeah, step two. And it's customary for us to close the meeting with the last two paragraphs on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you all.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having us.
Prayer.
All right. That was great. Thank you so much.
So good.
That was good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to
say, we all
pray. Yeah. I know. It's like,
Let's pray.
Come on, little folks. Yeah. Leanne, would you lead us?
Our Father,
who art in
daily the bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Yes. That was great. Okay.